This episode is proudly sponsored by my amazing patrons. For the multi-tier, a heartfelt thank you to Ted and C, St. Peaches, Earl B, Christina N, Bunkers, Carlos C, and our newest multi-patron, Ian. In the Tao tier, I extend a massive appreciation to Viren A, Jordan, Roman, Philip, Mona, Luna, Diwatahan, Brizo, and our latest Tao patron, Undead. Thank you all so much for your unwavering support. It truly means a lot to me. To you, my dear listeners, if you would like to support the podcast, please visit patreon.com/tabitabipod. For as little as $2 or $6, you can enjoy early access to episodes, exclusive content, and more. Once again, that's patreon.com/tabitabipod. See you there. Mabuhay and welcome to Tabi Tabi Podcast, a show where we explore the fascinating and often mysterious folklore of the Philippines. I am your host, Ethan. Hi, thanks for joining me today. Another week, another new episode. Hi and hello. Thanks for being here and I hope you enjoy your stay. I'm excited to share that the Tabi Tabi Podcast will be part of Tia Angges Tiangge sa Pista 2024. We'll be showcasing and selling artwork I created for the podcast along with stickers, mini booklets, and other items. It's the perfect opportunity to showcase and introduce other Philippine creatures to you all. So join us at the event from April 4 to 6 at Albay Astrodome here in Bicol, and I can't wait to see you there. With that being said, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. Zombies have been an integral part of horror fictions for decades, appearing in countless books, films, and other forms of media. They are frequently described as reanimated corpses with a taste for human flesh, particularly focusing on the brain. The notion of zombies varies by culture and interpretation, although they are frequently connected with themes of death, decay, and societal breakdown. The concept of zombies as brain-eating creatures gained prominence with George A. Romero's iconic film, Night of the Living Dead, and subsequent zombie films. In Haitian folklore, zombies are frequently represented as a reanimated corpse with no free will, ruled by a sorcerer or witch, such as Bokor. The Bokor commonly uses these zombies as laborers or minions, performing everything from physical labor to more nefarious acts. A zombie in Haitian voodoo is not always the flesh-eating, undead beast that Western media portrays. Instead, it's more analogous to a man or human who has lost their autonomy, volition, and individuality and has been reduced to slavery under the Bokor's authority. This control is frequently achieved through a variety of methods, including the use of psychoactive drugs, complicated rituals, and even psychological manipulation. In Filipino folklore, tales are told of a creature known as the Amalanhig, which bears some similarities to the concept of zombies. The Amalanhig is said to be a malevolent entity, often depicted as a reanimated corpse or spirit that preys on the living. Unlike traditional zombies, however, the Amalanhig is not typically controlled by a sorcerer or witch, but instead acts autonomously to satisfy its hunger for human flesh. This creature appears in Visayan mythology, most notably among Hiligaynon-speaking people. Hiligaynon, also often referred to as Ilonggo or Binisaya, or Bisaya nga Hiligaynon or Inilonggo, is an Austronesian regional language spoken in the Philippines by about 9.1 million people, predominantly in Western Visayas and Soksarjen, most of whom belong to the Hiligaynon people. The term Hiligaynon was derived from Hiligueynes, or it's spelled as Y-L-I-G-U-E-Y-N-E-S, I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, and that translates to people of the coast. Consequently, the language is also called Ilonggo or Panay. With farming and occasionally fishing as their primary source of income, Ilonggos mostly live in small rural barrios. Their heartland lies along both sides of the broken Guimara Strait, separating Panay and Negros. They also inhabit southern Mindoro, Tablas, Romblon, Sibuyan, Guimaras, northwestern Masbate, and some areas in Mindanao. Their major crops consist of rice, corn, sugarcane, and coconuts. Now going back to the Amalanhig, also known as Maranhig or Amaranhig, some say they are Aswangs who in their final moments were unable to pass on their powers or abilities to another. And for whatever reason, because they couldn't transfer their power, they rose from their graves and fled to dwell in the woods. At night, they returned to the village to feed on humans. To be honest, thinking about it, the Amalanhig doesn't differ much from your average Aswang, especially when it comes to feeding on humans. However, what sets them apart is their closeness to the end of their lifespan. And like most Aswang I've researched or read about, which are typically in their prime when they attack, these Amalanhigs are supposed to rest for good or at least be dead. And because they failed to complete their final task, they are destined to return to Earth and continue feeding on mankind, perhaps out of spite, or simply due to their innate nature. Now, that's not the only version of Amalanhig. There's another version of Amalanhig that exists where others say that the Amalanhig, instead of being an Aswang, are the restless spirit of someone who died a violent or unjust death, returning to the world of the living to seek revenge or wreak havoc. This version is often described as appearing at night, lurking in remote areas such as graveyards, forests, or abandoned buildings, waiting to ambush unsuspecting victims. They emit a putrid odor and possess sharp teeth for blood sucking. And despite their human-like appearance, they lack independent thought and mimic their victims' words. The mimicry suggests a strategy they might use to lure humans into the woods before launching their attack. Now, legend has it that the Amalanhigs emerged before Spanish colonization. According to an article on steamit.com written by Leviathan 101 6 years ago, there's a tale that goes like this. A chief sought an immortal army of unlikable soldiers from a village priestess. The priestess, in turn, created these soldiers by killing men, covering them in soot or black powder, placing a pebble or stone with mystical properties in their mouth, and conducting various rituals. After 3 days, these men rose from the dead, but they remained mindless walking corpses, perishing after fulfilling their tasks. Some versions of the legend suggest that these resurrected soldiers or similar entities still wander to this day, awaiting opportunities to carry out their duties. Now, let's circle back and focus on the two types of Amalanhigs. First, the reanimated corpses seeking vengeance or fulfilling unfinished business, and two, the veiled Aswang attempting to pass on their monstrous power. Let's go over number one first, the first version. The Amalanhig with unfinished business relentlessly pursues the ones they have chosen to fulfill their unfinished business. Because obviously, they can't finish it because they're dead, so they would employ others to finish their unfinished business. According to the research of Philippine Spirits, if you ever come close to an Amalanhig, or if maybe they deem you worthy of helping them complete their unfinished business, they may reveal their undead form to test your bravery. So, picture yourself standing in the woods and there's an Amalanhig that's transforming back into their old human form. Remember, if you see an Amalanhig, they are usually a humanoid creature. At least in this version, they are humanoid creature. They are putrid smelling. They smell really bad. So I would assume that's because they are decomposing. Remember, they're dead, like a zombie. So if you're in front of them and they probably deem you worthy, they would transform back to their old human form. And in this harmless guise, if you pass the test, because yes, transforming back into their old human form is actually a test of bravery, if you pass the test, the creature will ask you to bury them. And I think eventually they would divulge the location of where their body was hidden, or maybe their form in front of you will be the ones that you have to bury. And once you are able to bury their body, they will also divulge to you the location of their treasures. And you may think of it as like a little bit of reward for your trouble. So in this version, it seems that the Amalanhig's restless state stems from not being properly buried. They cannot find peace unless this is rectified. Perhaps their body was never found when they were unjustly killed, or their prior burial was done incorrectly. So if you bury their body, they will be at peace and you get your little reward. But Ethan, how about if I fail and I see the creature and I'm too scared to even help them? What will happen? If you fail the test and attempt to flee, they will relentlessly pursue you. And if caught, they will resort to tickling you to death while simultaneously draining your life force. Now, I don't know why. What is the connection for tickling? I can't find any information about it, but apparently they will tickle you to death. Now, for the second version, which is the Aswang type, this one is considered more dangerous, and I believe it's because this type of Amalanhig yearns for rest or eternal peace or basically death. But they are unable to attain it since no one is willing to accept their power. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, some Aswangs are said to be unable to die unless they transfer their powers to others. Just imagine, they're an old Aswangs and they already reached a point in their lives where their bodies deteriorate because they're old. Remember, they are not immortal. They have human vessels, or at least they are once humans that they become Aswang. So logically speaking, their body would deteriorate and they have to die. Unfortunately, if no one is willing to take their powers, my theory is that they grow resentful, leading them to become more vicious and more prone to feeding on humans in their decomposing state because no one's helping them at all. Now, while some Amalanhigs go to the village to feed on humans, some of them mostly stay in the woods. So what if you're the type of person who likes to go into the woods to hike, to camp? How do you avoid these Amalanhigs? To avoid and evade Amalanhigs, it's crucial to assess the danger they pose. While they may seem slow, especially when in groups, they can present significant threats. The first version of the Amalanhig I mentioned tends to gather, or maybe they hunt in groups and overwhelm individuals or a person, and additionally, they cannot be killed in their humanoid form. On the other hand, the second version, which is the Aswang version of the Amalanhig, they are more deceitful because they use mimicry or repeat the same words you are also saying or using to lure victims into the woods. So just imagine someone is also saying, "Tulong! Tulungan niyo po ako!" But it's not actually any person, it's just the Amalanhig. They have that type of power or ability. Additionally, they are also very fast than their human counterparts. So, with that being said, as a survival strategy, running is often the best option in this case, really. But running not in a straight direction, but in a zigzag pattern, because this apparently can help outmaneuver them. I would assume it's because maybe these amalanhigs, they can't really move that fast because their body is stiff and they can't go in a zigzag motion. Maybe that's why you can outmaneuver them. Climbing trees can offer temporary escape as well, but caution is advised because they might be waiting on the ground for an opportunity to strike. They may wait until you're too tired or too complacent, and once you feel like it's safe and you go down, they will be right there, ready to attack. And lastly, you can jump into a river or water. Jumping into water proves most effective, as amalanhigs are unable to follow for fear that they may crumble into worms or maggots upon contact with water. I don't know why, maybe because they're in a decomposing state, they're unclean, maybe that's why, I'm not entirely sure. Now, while I can't provide a step-by-step procedure on how to capture an amalanhig, as I'm not aware of one, if you ever happen to catch one, destroying it requires swift action. Burning or drowning them is necessary. Additionally, once they transform into a pile of worms once they make contact with water, you must promptly smash the worm piles to effectively kill the creature. Because thinking about it, if those worms merge together once again, it would just repeat the same process, I believe, and they would become an amalanhig. And the cycle continues. Or, ultimately, you can just avoid going into the woods at night altogether. Stay inside and hope they don't consider you worthy of assisting them in completing their unfinished business. Or else, you risk suffering the fate of getting eaten or being tickled to death. And that concludes the 19th episode of the podcast about the undead amalanhig. Many thanks to Yana for the information she's provided for this episode. She's the one who researched everything. Thank you so very much. She also did mention that apparently there is a movie about the amalanhig, which is titled Amalanhig the Vampire Chronicles. It was released in 2017, directed by Francis Posadas and written by Jonathan Jimenez. And according to her, in that movie, they didn't really delve into the story or history of the amalanhig. It was more or less like a revenge thing. She told me that the amalanhig in that story was portrayed as a villain, which is obvious, by the way, because they are considered evil. But yeah, they didn't really delve into the types of amalanhig or whatsoever. They just considered them as vampires, making them undead and whatnot. But if you're interested, there is a movie about the amalanhig. Once again, the title is Amalanhig the Vampire Chronicle, and it was released in 2017, directed by Francis Posadas and written by Jonathan Jimenez. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or you can become a Patreon member and get cool benefits. Just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. Or you can always donate via GCash. The information will be posted in the description. Once again, thank you so very much to my patrons and to you, my dear listeners. Thanks for continuously supporting the podcast. Please stay safe. This has been Ethan, and thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!